A few years ago, on the second Sunday of Advent, when this same passage was read, the first reading from Isaiah, there's a man way out in the back, Fred Rosenstein, and he was nodding his head through the whole reading, just nodding his head. And here's what he heard. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the young goat. The cow and the bear will eat together, and the baby will play by the rattlesnake and not be harmed. So after Mass, I said, Fred, I noticed that your head was nodding when this reading was happening. I said, what was going on? He said, I don't know anything about the Bible. He said, but when I heard those words, it's impossible to misunderstand what God wants for the world. So Isaiah is saying in a very poetic way, we can build a world where people live in peace with one another. So let's acknowledge each other as neighbors and friends, brothers and sisters. So it starts, the wolf will lie down with the lamb. Today there's a lot of tension between the Palestinians and the Israelis. This week, Prime Minister Netanyahu said, we want to annex the Jordan Valley, which is certain to cause more violent strife with the Palestinians. But there's a group in Israel and Palestine that came up with a unique idea. They decided to form a village, the Jews and Palestinians living together in peace, and they created this Oasis for Peace Village. Maybe some of you have heard of it, and our church supports it. It's been going for a few years. This is an international community. It's an intentional community halfway between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. 50 Jewish families and 50 Palestinian families living together in peace. They make decisions together. Now, this is a challenge because where they work, most Israelis are in management positions, and most Palestinians have menial jobs. So the Israelis are used to telling the Palestinians what to do at work. But when they get in the village, they're equal, and they have to work out their power differential to make decisions together as equals. Well, they are successful. They now have a primary school that has 314 students. They just added 7 new teachers last month. It's a bilingual school. They teach students in Arabic and Hebrew, and it's become a model for the whole country. Isaiah says, the cow and the bear will be neighbors, and their calves and cubs will grow up together. Today, there's a lot of tension at the southern border of the United States. But here's a great idea. The Mexican baseball team in Nuevo Laredo, which is right across the border, had an idea. They now play half their home games in Texas, just across the border. So even though that's a Mexican team, they play half their home games in Laredo, Texas. And at these games, they play both national anthems, they fly both flags, they speak Spanish and English, and they eat hot dogs and tacos. They cross the border so often playing these games that the border guards know them, and they'll call out, hey, who won tonight? How was the game tonight? Breaking down the walls. Now, last month, Krista Vardabash, Lori Kempschneider, and Davis Craig went to Chiapas, Mexico, and they gathered 60 people that we know at what they called a World Cafe. And there was a woman there, Gloria, and she said this to the group, I was 6 years old when you guys from Rochester started coming down here. Now I'm 31. I used to think that Americans were cold and racist peoples, but I've learned to let go of my stereotypes, just the way you've learned to let go of your stereotypes about the Mexicans. And now I've taken a job in tourism. So how do we bridge the gap between adversaries, between cultures? Well, you know what? Musicians and artists are a big help. Musicians and artists. They're a huge help in breaking down the walls. You are the carriers of love. You are the carriers of beauty in this life. You stand up for against the bad news and all the negative energy through your music and your artistry. In 2015, the Minnesota Orchestra played a concert in Havana, Cuba. It was the first time Cubans ever heard from an American orchestra. The final piece, the Minnesotans played the national anthem of Cuba. And the Cubans, who have been suffering from the U.S. embargo for years and years, were weeping and weeping as they heard their music. A few years ago, the New York Philharmonic went to North Korea to play a concert there. The North Koreans were so moved that they gave a standing ovation, and they too were crying. The director of our Philharmonic said, "You can only go to war when you demonize people. And it's difficult to demonize people when you listen to their music." So musicians and artists dispel negative energy. They help us to fall in love with the world all over again. The leopard will lie down with the young goat. So thank you for all of our musicians and artists. Actually, we have a craft show afterwards. Isaiah continues the dream. The cow and the bear will eat together. So unlikely people are going to get together to eat. Last month, Reverend Myra spoke about Daryl Davis. Daryl Davis is an African-American blues musician. For the last 30 years, he has befriended members of the KKK, and he invites them to dinner. Usually they don't want to go, but he says, "No, let's have dinner." He wants to know, "How can you hate me when you don't even know me?" What he does is he studies up on the Klan before he has the dinner. He said, when they see that you know about their organization, then they respect you. You try to talk about things you have in common, and when two enemies are eating and talking, there's no time for fighting. Eventually, they let go of their stereotypes and their judgments. The cow and the bear will eat together. Two other unlikely groups that eat together: Baptists and Catholics. 20 years ago, we started the Ecumenical Mass over at Emmanuel Church on Park Avenue. Every Tuesday, this diverse group gathers around the same table to share the Eucharist. For our anniversary, we made coffee mugs that said, "The cow and the bear will eat together." Recently, Mike Boucher took 30 parishioners to the Islamic Center, and tomorrow night, he will take more parishioners to the Hindu Center in Pittsburgh. There will never be peace among nations unless there will be peace among religions. And there will never be peace among religions unless there is dialogue among religions. So all you people who are going to the Islamic Center and the Hindu Center, keep it up, because we're breaking down the walls. Eating together. The 19th Ward, there's a restaurant over there on Brooks Avenue, brings diverse people together over food. Evangela Stanley runs this restaurant called the Choice Kitchen, and she invites the haves and have-nots to the same table. She tells people, "Hey, you can pay whatever you want." She said, "Times are hard, and it's Christmas time, and I'm going to feed people no matter what. You give me $3, you give me $4, you give me $5, whatever you can afford, you'll have a meal." So the calf and the lion will eat from the same trough, says Isaiah. In the second reading, Paul says to the Romans, "Welcome one another the way Christ welcomes us. Welcome one another." Today the world is experiencing the greatest refugee crisis on record. 30 million people have fled their homes because of violence or warfare or persecution. Unfortunately, the United States has reduced the number of refugees to our lowest level in 40 years. In the 1980s, we used to take 200,000 refugees annually. Do you know how many it is today? 18,000. As the richest country in the world, we can do better. There are two attitudes toward refugees: an attitude of scarcity and an attitude of abundance. The attitude of scarcity is based on fear. If we let those immigrants in, there won't be enough for us. They'll take our jobs. They'll take our desks at school. They'll take our beds at the hospitals. There won't be enough for us. But God teaches us the attitude of abundance. Jesus multiplies the loaves and the fishes, and guess what? There's leftovers. The lesson is, wherever there's sharing, there's abundance. Wherever there's hoarding, there's never enough. My brother Brady lived in Guam for a lot of years. and his wife Tessie was the maitre d' at the Reef Hotel there. One day, a whole bunch of elderly Japanese guys came in and stayed overnight at the hotel. And in the morning, one of the Japanese guys gave my sister-in-law $50. She goes, "What's going on?" He said, "You see these buddies of mine? We're all ex-pilots, retired pilots." He said, 50 years ago, we bombed the hell out of this island. And on behalf of the Japanese people, I want to say, I am deeply sorry. The holiest places on earth are where hatred has turned to love. The greatest spiritual insight of today, the greatest spiritual insight cutting across all the religions is this, four words. We are all one. We are all one. Matter and energy are not separate. Individuals and the universe are not separate. The divine and the human are not separate. A sense of wholeness is unfolding with evolution. Higher states of consciousness are emerging. And yes, there are examples of fragmentation around us, like Brexit, white supremacy, neo-Nazism, but they won't last. They can't. History is moving in a different direction. Divine wholeness is reasserting itself over and over again, permanently. You can't stop the flow of the Holy Spirit. So we are starting to awake from the illusion of being separate. All of us, we're awaking to from the illusion of being separate. Isaiah tried to say this poetically, "The wolf will live with the lamb." Today, 2,500 years later, there's a modern expression of the same thing. It's seen in the movie A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Fred Rogers says, "I've always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. Let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be my, could you be my, won't you be my neighbor?" When we hear this, we might feel the same way that Fred Rosenstein felt when he was nodding. And we might say, it's impossible to misunderstand what God wants for this world. Amen.